with less commercials, and we deliver. Jackalope Radio.
More horror than horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Hey, what's up, bitches? Guess what? I'm tired, I'm hot, and I was almost late tonight because we are live tonight on More Horror Than Horror. Tim is not joining us tonight because he is in Columbia, Missouri right now attending a Valiant Thor show. And separating Tim from Valiant Thor is pretty much damn near impossible. So he'll be joining us next week, hopefully, if everybody's schedules meet up. But I have a special stand-in host tonight joining me. Mr. 42nd Street Pete has been kind enough to grace me with his presence tonight on the show.
Oh, you're too kind. It's always a pleasure to be on More Horror Than Horror with the Mighty Griff.
So, as many of you might know, I'm going to start off the night by letting everybody know that Sage Stallone has left us. He has passed away at the age of 36, I believe, due to unknown causes. I know there's a lot of rumors going around on the internet as to possibilities, but nothing official has been said yet by anybody, so let it lie, people, and have a little respect for the friends and the families, please. Also, Sage, I know you're up there between Joe Spinell and Lilia Fulci right now, so I just want to thank you, sir, for your tremendous work and your dedication that you've given to all of us horror fans with your fine work at the Grindhouse Releasing and all the fine DVDs that you've given us over the past several years, and also for allowing a lot of us to go back and visit the great zombie and the great maniac films in the theater with the fine work that you did cleaning those up and allow us those the privilege to see in those again. So with that out of the way, I would like to start off by getting to the meat of the matter. And over the last several days, I would say probably about Wednesday, I started getting the full of a second helping of the topic that I joined Pete with last weekend on his show in regards to bullshit events, people's actions, and pretty much the full of what the internet has become. Apparently, it's become a rumor mill for uneducated fanboys, basement cretins, and non-pussy-getting tyrants to spew uneducated fodder for the masses and to get away with it. And so tonight I figured we'd go ahead and give a second helping, a dessert, if you will, of some of the stuff that I've encountered over the last week since me and Pete's show last week on his show. So anyway, what has brought this all to a head is I, back on the 25th of June, had placed an order with a what I thought was a reputable DVD aficionado, somebody who has produced some all right titles in the past that I've purchased through Hastings or off of Amazon. So two new titles had come out. I placed my order, and I was kind of excited because the one title that I got from him prior took about 3 to 4 days by the time that I ordered it to the time I received it. So I figured, yeah, hell, I'll order these two. Shit, I'll have them in no time. I'll be watching them. Not a big deal. So I placed the order. Not a big deal. So the 4th of July rolled around, and I was just curious. You know, I was up in the morning getting ready to go to work. So I figured I'd shoot an email, just a curiosity thing. Not a big deal. So I asked him. I said, hey, I was just checking on the status of my order, and thought I'd see about what was going on. So later on in the morning, I received a reply, and it says, did you pay by money order or PayPal? Sorry, I can't remember since I got 179 orders in the last week or so. No problem. Things happen. You get a lot of shit. You can't control what's going, whose order came in at what time. So I said, well, I paid through PayPal. Here's my receipt number. Gave him the receipt number. Waited for a little bit, got a reply back later in the day. I checked PayPal, no payment from the Mighty Griff email. So was it a money order? No. So I copy and pasted my complete transaction that I received from PayPal, posted it to the email. I said, no, it was this email account, themightygriff@gmail.com. Sent it back to him with the receipt number again. Later on that day, I received an email back from him. It says, what email account did you use? Was the DV paid for by? I see nothing in my email with that receipt number. It might be easy by email or email search engine. Now, reading that, I looked back and said, well, I just gave you all the information that I had received from PayPal, just gave you my receipt number for a third time, and for the second time, gave you my email address that I used for PayPal. So later on again that day, I receive another reply back. This one said, it's only been 9 days. Why are you posting panic on the web? I'll have to check the tracking number. Okay. First off, I never posted any panic on the web. I just merely made a couple of comments after reading the forums page that somebody had created for this guy's company. And a couple of other people had stated that they had purchased the same items that I did and had received them in about 2 or 3 days time, you know, from what I could tell from what they were posting. Ordered mine the other day, just got it today. Wow, I can't believe how fast things ship. So I said, okay, not a problem. I'll go ahead and let it slide. So after I got that email from him, I received another email from him that says, well, I don't see your order in my email. Any other possible email? Oh, by the way, did you get your website up? No. I had informed you earlier that I didn't have an official website where I list reviews. I said I have a radio show, internet radio show, and I more or less talk about movies. I don't really go and review them online or post the information online because everybody does that. And, you know, it's a lot easier for me to just come in and spew for an hour, and then I go home and I don't have to worry about updates and all that other stuff. So apparently that didn't, you know, catch wind. So anyway, I had sit back on the next day and received this email. I posted to him. I said, I would have used no other email than either this one and no other one because I have none. This is the one, my main email that I use for the show and all my orders. I said, as for panic, I was just going off other people had posted about their orders and the past orders that I had had in receiving the Ghostkeepers DVD that I had ordered from you before. I only have the payment confirmation from PayPal and the email address that I had sent you to show you the payment. I said, I'm just a huge fan of the titles. I said, I look forward to getting them before they sell out. So a couple days go by. Nothing. Nothing then. July 12th rolls around, so I figured, well, I haven't heard nothing for about 7 days, so I'll just contact him to see if he found the order. I said, again, I'm writing in reference to my order, the status, here's the number, the receipt number. Then he posts me back. He says, DVD was mailed. I don't know what happened. Maybe the refund is best since I noticed that you're ranting on the internet and calling me a crook. Oh, yeah, by the way, you froze my PayPal account. I told you I'll take care of you, but you wanted to make everyone's life miserable. Then he says, Mighty Grifter killed my PayPal account in the Code Red store. That's right, people. Code Red is the people that I'm talking about tonight. Mr. Bill Olson. He said, thanks a million. Please don't buy off me again. Well, Mr. Olson, don't worry, sir. I won't. I won't even promote your movies that you have out anymore. I will continue to go elsewhere. Maybe I'll even go overseas to purchase these movies. So I posted back and said, well, I never said you was a crook. I just wanted the movies that I was paid for. I said, is that a problem? He says, well, I'm writing in reference to the status. He says, you called me a crook. So I said, that's fine. Not a problem. He said, since he refunded my money, he wasn't going to send me a second one. There was a refund given. The Code Red store is closed. Well, first off, if you have a tracking number, you should have been able to track my package that you supposedly sent, which I don't believe there was a tracking number. There never was a tracking number. I know the code, the Ghost Keepers DVD that I bought from you prior didn't have any type of a tracking number listed on the package. And I don't know if it might not even have been processed yet, that's fine. The only thing you would have had to have done is said, hey, I hadn't processed it yet, not a problem. But, you know, business is business. You run your business the way you want. I'm just, a person who was just curious as to where my $38 was at the time. And I was getting shitty service, so I decided to go to PayPal. And yes, I did. I contacted PayPal. And I don't know if Mr. Olson had other things against him at the time that caused his PayPal account to be frozen, or if it was frozen, or what was going on. But anyway, that's what I was saying. I was quite pissed off and disturbed about it. And another thing that led me to this was this was a conversation between me and Mr. Olson, and he took it upon himself to tell an outside source who apparently took it back to the forum and was posting it that I was being rude and sending harassing emails and all this other stuff, because apparently he knew, how many emails that I was sending was supposedly an overabundance of emails, which anytime anybody emails somebody back and forth in conversation, you're going to have a lot of emails. So, that being said, a couple of the cronies on their forums page was, there's only two, but anyway, that's besides the point. So that's what has kind of got me into the tiff, and I know I've chewed Pete's ear a couple of times this week, babbling about it, so I'm sure he's probably tired of hearing the story for a third time, and I know Todd's probably tired of hearing it for the second time, so I apologize for them to have to sit through this again. But I wanted to let everybody know that to go ahead and disregard anything that I've ever said in the past about Code Red, the titles. If you thought about order them, scratch them off your list. Try to go ahead and search that elsewhere. And maybe Bill's business ethics could get an upgrade. Maybe he could try again, and maybe he could go back and try to rebuild what he himself is destroying. I don't think it's the DVD market. I just think he's just a bad business person. So other than that, that's off my chest. I'm vented. I'm happy. I got my $38 back, by the way. Thank you very much for PayPal. Highly recommended PayPal. If you have any problems with a seller, go through PayPal. They take care of your shit. I had my money refunded to me in like 2 days. So,
there had to be something weird about the fact that they froze his whole account, because I had somebody be a douche with me over $9.95, and I honestly thought she was going to get it within 15 minutes of paying for it.
Right.
So basically, they froze $9.95 of my account.
Right. And well, that's what I talked to the woman with PayPal, and she informed me. She goes, well, this is the steps that we're going to take. Yeah. She says, you've made the complaint. We'll contact the seller and allow him to make his side of the story. At that time, we'll allow him to make the decision to contact you, and you two will discuss how you want to continue the transaction, whether you want the items or if you want your refund. So I was like, okay, not a problem. Well, there was never any contact from him back to me asking whether I wanted, I told him that I wanted, the movies, because that's what I paid for. I said, since you already had the money and I want the movies, send me the movies. So he just took it upon himself, I guess, just go ahead and refund the money after I'd sent him back the email, you know, saying what I wanted. So that's fine. You know, now I don't see how actions being so, you know, quick and, you know, to the point would cause him to be froze. But like I said, maybe he's got something on that side that, you know, maybe there's more than one person.
Well, you know, the whole thing, when you look at that company's history, they've always been shaky because they've gone through, let me see, I'm just tracking it back. Media Blasters was handling their early stuff, The Forest, Devil Times 5, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Love Me Deadly, I know I'm missing one. Oh, Don't Go in the Woods, and Doom Asylum. Now, there was some kind of falling out with Blasters where they couldn't sell five of those titles. The only one they could legitimately sell was Love Me Deadly. They had a hand in doing something with it. So basically, those five titles sat on a skid in the back of the warehouse where they were, you know, nickel and diming them to people. Then they just decided to throw them out, which, thank you very much, because I got a bunch of them that way. So they all wound up in a dumpster. Then they went to BCI, and BCI was dealing with them for a while, but then the story I heard from one of the guys who used to work there was that they became so overbearing about screeners and this and that and the other thing, they just said they're not worth the trouble to deal with.
Right.
So, and, you know, a lot of their stuff, you know, it's not really great, you know, as far as, you know, you're not digging up some, you know, lost classic.
Right.
It's
none of the films are London After Midnight. I mean, they're not classic films and stuff that we desperately, direly need to see. They're just, like Todd said earlier in the week, they're stuff that we remember seeing maybe on the video box when we were kids, you know, in the video store. Yeah. It's just stuff that you remember seeing late night on Showtime or Cinemax, and you see it for what it is, no more, no less, and you pick, I'll spend, you know, $13 or $14 for it, not a big deal. You like, I mean, if you're a serious fan of the genres, it's something you like to have in your collection, but you also like to have a little respect and a little, you know, understanding from the people you're buying it from, you know. But when you're not even getting respect from the people that are selling the shit, it's time to just, you know, close up shop.
I pulled up all their titles, and I'm like, Alice in Wonderland, I thought somebody else had released that before they did. Porn Company, I thought. Beard Girls Dormitory, who cares? The Being and Cop Killers. The Being had already been released through Blasters.
Right, because it was released with The Dark and the Creatures from the Abyss.
Yeah, it was a box set, but it was released singly before that, too. And then Beyond the Door was all right, but that the chick, who was it, Juliet Mills, she fucking flubbed her interview, and they didn't even correct it.
Right. But then that was kind of weird, too, because that came back out as a two-disc exclusive at Best Buy. Because they did the same thing with The Pit. It came out, and then it came out as the two-disc Best Buy exclusive, which was kind of weird, because I know Best Buy was carrying a lot of the titles, and then all of a sudden they just fucking quit. So, because they were carrying a lot of the stuff because of the BCI, the demos, and they were carrying all the Paul Naschy stuff and all the, you know, the cinema exploitation and all that other stuff, the two-disc movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, and there's a lot of people, and like I said last week, you know, there's, you know, the fans are being railroaded by a lot of these cocksuckers, and it's just got to stop, you know, because fans are fans. You know, they're going to continue to buy what they can, when they can, you know, no matter how they get it. And then, like, you know, like we were discussing, you know, you're always going to have, you know, these fanboys that are going to try to get in and you know, pretend like they're trying to take, you know, just so they can get a freebie here and there or something, you know, take up for, and they're not doing anything. They're not justifying the cause by doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, no, we had a whole fucking run last week too. I don't know if you had picked up any of that crap that was going on with the convention fights and shit like that on that East Coast Horror group.
Yeah, I had read something briefly on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point it's ridiculous. You know, it's like these people don't seem to realize, and, you know, it's like, like you said on my show, okay, Tom Savini's going to be at Crypticon. And it's like, where hasn't he been?
Right.
And it's getting to be the same broken record with a lot of these people. They're at every fucking show.
Right.
And the reason they are at every show, because there's two agents, and one agent has X amount of people, and the other agent has X amount of people. They both hate each other. So every show that they're involved in, it's the same fucking people.
Right.
Where, you know, then I get, well, you know, fans, I said, you know, the fans don't, you know, the fans are uneducated for some fucking reason. Why wouldn't you want to sit down with a Q&A with a guy like Gary Kent or Bud Cardos or Ted Michaels or somebody like that?
Right.
I mean, all these fuckers want to hear is Sid talk about Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. When are you going to make the next Devil's Rejects? Right. I mean, I've been there for this shit. It's fucking insane. And the sad part is, you know, there's so much more to him than those two fucking films, yet these assholes, you know, can't seem to see by that. I mean, I did a whole Q&A down Saturday Nightmares, and I completely skirted the Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses until the very end of, like, a 90-minute, you know, conversation.
Right.
And then we threw it out to the fans. You know, when are you going to make another Rob Zombie movie?
Right.
I mean, Jesus fucking Christ, the whole horror genre just sucks.
Well, and that's like we've talked in the past before. They're just, I mean, like you said, they're uneducated. They don't have anybody to, you know, they sit. I mean, and I'm not putting the internet down. I mean, God damn it, I use it enough, you know, to look up films and, you know, to back, you know, search, you know, actors and directors to see what other films are. But there used to be a time like, when, you know, that we didn't have the internet. And we couldn't
actually read something.
You know, like when I was in high school, I was a huge into heavy metal. And if I went and I bought a magazine and I seen an album cover that I really enjoyed, then I'd take a chance on it. I'd listen to it. If I liked it, I'd read the thank you notes of all the different bands that they had listed. And I'd go out and I'd search for those bands. And I'd educate myself on the music that I liked. And, yeah, I bought shit. And I bought really good stuff. And, you know, there was no, you couldn't reference, you couldn't go to YouTube and pull up, you know, Cannibal Corpse and then get 16,000 different bands that all sound like Cannibal Corpse scrolled to the side. I mean, you had to talk to people. See, that's where we lose our abilities to communicate, is because you sit behind these fucking computer screens all day and you sit in these little forums and you giggle back across the screen with so-and-so about, yeah, did you see the boobies and that? Yeah, that's cool. Well, did you see so-and-so's got a new... And they don't know, you know, that, yeah, there's a guy in this movie called Sid Haig that he didn't do 30 other films in the last, you know, 10 years that you have nothing about, that you know nothing about. Did you know that he was in a movie called Spider Baby that influenced Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which if you go back and you watch Spider Baby, it's a hell of a lot like fucking Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses. You know, it's pretty scary. You know, Rob's not as original as you think he is. You know, a lot of people out there, goddamn it, he's another one. You mention his name on the internet and they come out of the fucking woodwork like cockroaches with the lights on.
Yeah.
I mean, heaven forbid, you know, it's like going down south and mentioning Jesus and saying something bad again, you know. It's just everybody. Oh, you can't talk about Rob Zombie. He's original. Rob Zombie hasn't been original since day one. If you listen to his fucking music, he's a sample king.
Yeah, I crap on him and I crap on Tarantino, too. The only saving grace with Zombie is he gives these guys work. Tarantino don't. He puts them over, but he never gives them work.
Right.
Then they say, well, it's not him. It's bullshit. He's fucking Quentin Tarantino. If he wanted Sid Haig in this scumbag Western he's making, he'd have Sid Haig in it. We all know what he's doing. I hate to give him fucking lip service, that fucking bobble-headed cocksucker.
Well, you know, and I always say, you know, a lot of people talk to me about, you know, Rob Zombie this and Rob Zombie that. I said, you know what? Rob Zombie owes his entire fucking career to Mike Judge. Because if it wasn't for fucking Beavis and Butthead back in the 90s and them paying, you know, Thunderkiss 65, 60 times on that show, Rob Zombie wouldn't have the career that he's got today.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't signed to Universal at the time that he was doing his albums, Devil's Rejects or House of a Thousand Corpses never would have been made, and he wouldn't have gotten to use all the fucking Universal monster shit that he used in that movie because who he was signed with.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, was when Universal saw it, they shelved it. It sat on the shelf for like 2 years.
Right.
And Lionsgate picked it up.
So I mean,
even have any faith in the fucking thing.
I mean, if you go back and listen to his early records, they're all Universal monster snippets. They're all, you know, they're all shit that he got out for the Universal archives.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's no originality in any of this. But like I said, that's another subject and one that just always gets blown out of proportion on the internet. So, but, you know, but that's what you deal with, you know. And I don't give a shit. I'm too fucking old at this point in time in my life to really care about. So, I mean, if it sucks, it sucks. I don't care if Todd directs it. I mean, if it sucks, you know.
Yeah, it sucks. And most of this stuff sucks.
You know.
I mean, I'm looking at this whole, you know, I still got the screen on with this stuff. All right. Dead Pit was a direct-to-video deal. It was all right. Cutthroats 9, as far as I'm concerned, is a public domain film. And he pairs it off with a Fred Williamson black western. Then they got Death Journey, which is public domain. Don't Go in the Woods, which, you know, who cared? Then he's got he's doubling the stuff up. Deliver Us from Evil, Fox Affair. All these things are like, these movies nobody gives a shit about.
Right.
You know, it just comes down to that. And well, he couldn't sell them, so he's pairing them up. It's even worse.
Right. And another bad thing about it is, you know, I can understand, you know, I don't know what his replication amount is or what, you know, his budget is for film.
Yeah.
But don't, if you're going to put it out there, you put it out there. But now the fans are starting to fuck other fans. And that's just when it gets
yeah.
sad. You know, you got people posting that they're buying, you know, two or three copies. And, well, yeah, I got two copies on the shelf, and I don't know if I want. I heard it's a really good movie, but I don't want to open it to find, you know, because it's out of print now, and it's selling on Amazon for $65. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're a fan of the movie and you want to spend the $65 on it, then fine, do it. I don't have a problem. You can spend whatever you want for anything if that's what you want to do. But, you know, it's just ridiculous that, you know, just to go buy something. I mean, Todd's ran into it before where people go out and buy multiple copies of something just to throw them in a box hoping that they'll go up in price. I mean, that's just, you know, that's got to stop. That's just fucking ridiculous right
now. Well, you know what it is, too? They create fucking situations like, all of a sudden, Latitude Zero is on fucking eBay for $59.95.
Right.
You know, I got copies of the fucking thing. I'm not fucking greedy. I put two up for $19.95 and sold them. Legitimately, they go for $24.95.
Right.
Yeah, they're probably out of print. But, like, you're right. These cocksuckers just sit there figuring, buy up all this obscure shit and get big money for it. And you know something? Lots of luck, because sometimes it don't happen that way.
Right.
Sometimes you get stuck with shit.
You know, I mean, I've got those two copies of Swamp Thing. Yeah, I could probably put them up on eBay and ask for $30 or $40 a piece for them. But you know what? If something comes along that I want that I haven't seen, or something that comes along that I haven't seen that I want to see, but they're open for trade. I don't give a shit. It's like, how many times in a year am I going to sit there and put that movie in just so I could see Adrian Barbeau's tits for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you know, to me, it's just a movie. I found them, you know. I bought them, you know, because they were out of print. They bought them recalled, but I didn't sit. I'm not going to sit on them. I didn't buy them thinking, "Wow, I'm going to turn around and sell these for a fortune," you know. So, but I guess I'm getting the break signal from Todd already. Man, that's been
it's
quick
break
30
time.
Minutes. So, wow. All right, well, we'll come back and we'll rant some more, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh,
never boring. It's red hot.
The love freshest the music. Music in town.
It's never boring. It's red hot.
The freshest music in town. Jackalope Radio.
All right. Whether you hate us or you love us, we're back. And I'd like to start off the second segment by welcoming all those people out there who said they wouldn't listen, who are listening to More Horror Than Horror. Because guess what? I love you. You make this 1 hour a week so much fun. So anyway, Pete, we were talking about internet earlier in the last hour, and I want to start off this one by confronting a little internet etiquette, or as I was told, I'm not allowed.
Oh, you're not supposed to type in caps. I saw that. Who gives a fuck?
I know.
Jesus I know. Christ. Internet etiquette? Take the internet, wipe my ass with etiquette.
People who say that you're not allowed to type in all caps is the reason why there should be a federal law that every other load should be swallowed. Yeah. So we would have a chance of eliminating some of these fucktards that run around. So, yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
The reason why, if anybody wants to know, if anybody's interested in why I type in all caps, is because about 20 or 30 million motherfuckers at a time are posting, I would believe, on the internet, on anything. And everybody who types regularly kind of has a tendency to get lost. So since I'm usually posting something on there about movies or something movie-related on the More Horror Than Horror Facebook page, I like to put it in all caps so it kind of stands out a little bit and doesn't get lost in the shuffle. I don't know if it really works, but it makes me happy. So guess what? I'm going to continue to do it. If you don't like it, fuck off.
So. As long as it makes you happy. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes I type with my cock because my wrist gets tired.
Oh, good. So what's this Savage Weekend thing here, Todd? Give me some background on this.
Man, I hooked your butt up. I told you I'd get you a copy of that, and there you go.
It's got a big chainsaw on it, which has got me kind of...
Oh, wait a minute. Savage Weekend. Was that the fucking one with the death by panties?
It's William Sanderson, remember?
William Sanderson.
Yeah, but didn't some chick die smothered with panties or something?
I can't even remember.
I don't know, but it says, Goofs and Blunders, look for the boom mic in just every scene. House on the lake, a black string around Shirley's neck appears and disappears between shots. Bikini tops nipped off. Killer.
It's fucking horrible. Paragon put it out. Then I think Trauma picked it up.
Yeah, it's awful, but it's great.
Did you watch it yet?
Oh, yeah, I've got a copy, too.
What's the print like?
It's pretty decent, actually. Good? Yeah, yeah. I was going to go to that place you told me about last time with the Black Magic and stuff, too.
Right.
I'm going to try to pick up some stuff there.
That's cool.
This next week.
I've actually got another guy. I'm not really for sure exactly what he's doing, but I think he moved to England. But he had a lot of the really obscure, off-the-wall, crazy stuff. And it was actually kind of, I mean, it was, I don't think it was no more than maybe $7.99.
I need Gok, Body Snatcher from Hell.
I got it.
I know.
All you got to do is, I'll remember it next week. I'll bring it down and you can pull a copy.
I used to sell that on VHS.
Me too. Yeah. I didn't sell it, but I bought it.
The aliens go into the Japs' noses and shit.
I don't know if I'd go as far as call a brother Jap. Jeez.
Hey,
what the fuck? I'm not kidding. Correct. our Asian brethren, the ones that
that's right,
loves.
That's right.
Did you see the poster that was released at the San Diego Comic-Con for the new Godzilla movie?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Nice.
Big crazy spines all down the back, and oh yeah, it looks
good.
Looks like the way Godzilla should be.
As long as he's not a CGI piece of poop.
Yeah, hope not. Hopefully.
I thought Final Wars was it. I guess they're bringing him back.
Nah. You can't keep good shit like that down. Fucking better than any Rob Zombie piece of shit being released.
Oh, yeah.
It could be the same fucking storyline every Godzilla movie. Is still going to be 100 times better. I know it's going to be better than that Lords of Salem crap.
Well, the last Godzilla movie, there was only Godzilla, his kid, that guy from the UFC, Don Fry, and three Japanese people left on the whole fucking planet. So I guess they did some heavy-duty fucking to bring it up to snuff.
Shit, yeah. It's Godzilla. Everybody fucking.
Anybody move? You know, this is some funny shit. We used to get drunk and run into the Chinese restaurant next door to the bar and start screaming, "Anybody run? It's Godzilla!" Bunch of pricks we were.
Hey, speaking of movies, do you have IFC?
Do I have IFC? What?
The Independent Film Channel.
I have to pay.
I got the on-demand stuff, yeah.
Oh, you don't have just the regular channel?
I don't know. I guess.
That channel's fucking awesome, dude. I woke up this morning, and they were playing the She Creature. How to make
great shit.
They were playing She Creature, How to Make a Monster, So I was like, well, fuck, that's great. You know, a double bill. Guess what was after that?
What's that?
The Changeling with George C. Scott, baby.
There you go.
I was like, holy shit, a three fucking hit.
Yeah, they were running, I think they ran the world's greatest center once.
Really?
Yeah.
So
they run some good shit, but these cocksuckers up here, it's like, you know, my biggest expense here is my fucking cable. Besides my property tax, but then my fucking electric bill was like 50-something bucks. My gas bill was like 25 bucks. My cable bill was like 100 bucks.
There ain't nothing to do in Ohio but watch TV, Pete. So they
I don't even watch any of this shit. I'll watch I like some of the Animal Planet shit, the fucked up shows now.
Right.
Like Swamp Wars, which makes me never, ever want to go to Florida again. We got 30-foot rock pythons in my backyard. Oh, my God, Jethro's gone. Where did Jethro? His face got a big belly button.
Yeah. Apparently, they don't know down there that snakes get big.
Yeah. No, this is all the shit that loose in the Everglades. Now it's like, gee, we've eaten everything in the Everglades except the alligators because they eat us. So, gee, we'll just have to go out and eat your dog and your toddler, you know?
Right. Yeah, some of those. I get a kick out of all the crap that's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, yeah, the goofy big monster shit?
Yeah, that one that they had on a couple weeks ago, that Bigfoot movie, good Lord, that was hard to watch. That thing
was
King Kong.
Yeah. Holy fuck, man, I turned that off. I couldn't do it.
I think the part that got me to flip the channel was when he was walking down the lake and the water disbursement was like Neil. I'm like, how in the fuck you got something 100 feet tall that can't even move water when it's walking through the center of it? I'm like, damn, they ain't even trying to make this look good.
Nah. I like those ones with, you know, Dino Croc versus Cuntosaurus or something like that.
It's because it's all Corman stuff. You know it's going to be good to some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that thing wasn't even a Roger Corman production, so you knew it was. It wasn't even the Asylum, and that's what's bad, because usually their stuff's pretty dismal, but it's at least entertaining. This thing was just bad all the way around. And the thing about it is I still don't know how in the hell they got Alice Cooper to be in it. Apparently he's not eating too well these days, so he's going to take what he can get.
He was making the convention circuit too. You know, it's funny. A lot of these guys that you would think that they're doing well aren't doing well at all. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing conventions.
Right. Well, nobody's doing well. I mean, look at all the shit. I mean, hell, there's the DVD releases are pretty much at a standstill. I mean, other than the major studio stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and even places, you know, like MGM and stuff, they were rolling out all of that DVDR on-demand stuff, and it's pretty much stopped. However, I think MGM or somebody's doing the Johnny Sacco stuff now. I think you can get it. I think they're going in and doing...
Well, the whole thing with the on-demand stuff is they want fucking $30 for a fucking burn. Blow me, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things I have a problem with. They ain't even trying to... I mean, they're not putting anything on it.
No, I bought El Condor because I'm a huge Lee Van Cleef mark, and it's the only way I could get it. It was basically a flat, you know, flat screen thing.
Right.
It's funny, I got a print of it. We ran it up at Ken's, and it wound up to be a TV print. But it's watchable.
Yeah.
I think we're going to run it. We're going to run something else. I just picked up Hellbenders. Three reels. That one's pretty good.
Who'd you get that from?
Bought it off of Blue Archives on eBay.
Oh, okay.
He comes up with some good prints, man. I got Machine Gun Kelly off him for $80.
Hmm.
I think Hellbenders was $80 too.
And the TV prints, or they just
no? You know, well, I don't. You don't know till you get them, but you know the Van Cleef thing. I was looking at El Condor, and I noticed there was something missing. They trimmed the language and the nudity.
Oh, okay.
The violence was still there.
Right.
I don't think I paid. I think I might have paid $80 for that one too. But yeah, they're just fun to have.
Right.
You know.
Well, it's like a lot of those titles. I mean, like Todd was saying, a lot of it's so bad that
yeah.
You know, I mean, good Lord, just even the, you know, it was bad when it was released. It was never anything good about it, but it's just, you know, one of those deals that you remember seeing, so it's kind of a like a trip down memory lane. I mean, you can pretty much remember what age you was when you seen the box covers for the first time, you know, which is the majority of the shit that I have in my collection. It's bad beyond all belief, but it still makes me smile, so...
Yeah, somebody's got to print a Willard up cheap. I was thinking of trying to nail that because the opening bid's only like $40, and nobody's even
for Willard.
Yeah,
I can get you. You need a copy of that?
No, the film.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I got that and Ben if you need it.
No, we do that whole thing, you know, all weekend. We run different shit, so I've been kicking in some stuff because it's just cool to have. I picked up like Macon County Lie, and I picked up Circus of Fear. I got some Spaghetti Western nobody ever heard of, Sunscorched.
Who's in that?
I have no fucking clue. We got to run it. My projector's a piece of shit. One of the guys brings over, he's big on this. He brought over, like, we ran El Condor, and then I had the two dogs, and I had to get the fuck out of there. And then after I left, they ran the thing. But you know what they did was, and you could do this with any 50s movie, just run the last reel.
Right.
You get this, you know, it all just sums it up in the last reel.
Yeah, those good old low budgets.
Yeah.
That's what was kind of cool about How to Make a Monster is it takes... I was a teenage Frankenstein and I was a teenage werewolf and puts them together in the same movie. But then again, you know, when they go to get the makeup artist at the end of the movie, it goes into a studio and he's got all the other AIP monsters on the wall, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little funny thing because it's a she creature and, you know, it conquered the world and all them other little rubber monsters are flopping around. So it was kind of an homage. It was kind of funny. I always dug that movie. So.
I got that comment for you.
Oh, How to Make a Monster?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I got that, Teenage Werewolf, Teenage Frankenstein, It Conquered the World. Fuck, I'm trying to think what else I was doing.
What was the one that has the two brain aliens where they fucking ran around with needles on their fingers and got everybody...
Oh, I got that one, too, Invasion of the Saucer
Man. That's it.
Invasion of the Saucer Man.
That was Invasion of the Saucer Man when... What's that? The Warning movie. Where the big alien was hunting the...
Oh, yeah, Without Warning.
Yeah, Without Warning, where he's throwing around the little stingray-looking things.
That was the template for fucking Predator. That's what that was.
Right, but I mean, even though in that Without Warning, though, it was a whole rip-off of that Invasion of the Saucer Men, because they had the same fucking...
Well, they remade that Invasion of the Saucer Men. They called it the Eye Creatures. It was a really, I don't know, it was shitty AIP remakes. I think it was like a Larry Buchanan film or something with John Ashley in the lead. And instead of having, like, needle things, they had, like, the whole costume was, like, eyeballs glued to it or something. It was this lumpy thing with a bunch of eyeballs glued to it.
Well, then they went back, and then didn't HBO or somebody go back and remake all those, like, in the 90s?
Yeah, but they made no sense at all.
Yeah, they did.
They had nothing to do with the original.
Earth versus the Spider and the...
Like, I love Earth. You need that one?
The original one?
Yeah, you need that one.
Yeah, I got it on VHS, but I'll take a DVD copy of it.
Okay. We're going to be burned, but they're...
No, that's fine. I don't care. I'm just afraid. I'm getting ready to pull my VHSs out of storage tomorrow, and I'm afraid half of them are going to disintegrate when they hit light.
Yeah, they might get mold on them, too. That's the other problem.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I put a majority of them in plastic slipcases before I boxed them all up, so hopefully that kind of deterred anything from fucking them up too bad.
Yeah, actually, you know, Todd, did some guys contact you about a VHS documentary?
Not yet, no.
Because they were at my house Wednesday.
Huh, weird.
It's Based Video Lord or VHS Lord on Facebook. They were up at Wasteland when me and Ken did the thing. So they emailed me. They're going cross-country to interview all these people. They'll probably try to get to you eventually, I think. But they were in here a good hour shooting me.
I'm trying to get Todd convinced and giving me the rights to do Goblin, but he won't do it.
What do you mean Goblin?
It's a piece of crap I made when I was a kid.
We need to release it.
Yuck.
No, could be immodest.
Remake
it. Tell it's a piece of crap.
Remake it. Yeah, me and Tim will remake it for you.
I'll give you the go ahead. Can't give me any worse.
It's got to be a lot better than some of the shit that's coming out now.
Damn right.
So maybe I can put it online. I'll put it on sale for online, and then I'll have people buy it, and I won't ship it to them.
Actually, I'm trying to come out with 5 volumes of loops myself, just camcording them off a wall, because if I don't, they're just going to disintegrate, and they're already starting to turn. So,
well, that's what people go for now. The grimier the fucking copy of anything is, the more people want it, it seems like.
Well, I'm not giving bottom of the barrel. I'm trying to get some decent stuff, but I figure I'm going to have probably 12 on a DVD, and I think it's going to be called Get Looped with 42nd Street Pete.
Right. Well, that's another thing that's kind of confusing on the internet, too. You got people that, you know, bitch and complain about certain, like, well, the aspect ratio is not right on this, and this isn't, you know, this is out of, this print's bad, and this is light spots and dark spots. I'm like, well, look what you're dealing with. You know, I mean, look, the title of the film alone, it wasn't a major production when it was first
released. It's like how Todd goes batshit over that tree on a meat hook thing, you know?
Right.
Just like lighting a fucking butane torch under his ass when he farts, he just goes through the fucking roof.
Well, there's a line I draw eventually, my God, man.
Oh, fuck, that line's been crossed so many fucking times. I mean, I'm still looking at the Code Red thing. Do you think anybody really gives a flying fuck about Riot on 42nd Street? I watched that fight. That was so goddamn tame. I mean, I seen the actual shit, man. Fuck that.
Right. Well, and, you know, some people are like, well, you know, they say it's uncut, but it's missing three minutes of dialogue. Okay, so does that affect the story any, or does that cut out any of the violence or any of the monster stuff? Well, no, it's 3 minutes of footage or 3 minutes of dialogue. Okay, so who gives a fuck? So you don't get to hear a question be answered. I mean, it's not end of the world.
Well, these guys, what they fail to realize is, and you know yourself, the versions of these films that I saw originally were the ones that were running grindhouses, and God only knows what was taken out of them, because we didn't know any of this shit back then, and we didn't care. We were watching a cool fucking movie.
Right.
So when somebody calls me out on shit, I'm like, yeah, hey, I saw, you know, Cannibal Holocaust, you know, in the Liberty, and I know there was stuff snipped out of it. You know, because, you know, you get the restored version, you know, that Grindhouse put out, and like, you're like, holy shit, every time you watch it, you see something different you missed the first time around.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, part of it, you know, part of the ambiance of some of those films is shit, you know. I don't need a pristine copy of Three on a Meat Hook. It's a fucking turd anyway. I mean,
yeah, really.
You know, I like the scratches and pops and a lot of that shit, you know. So, I mean, that's one of the things that's kind of, I mean, I'm excited that the Universal Monsters stuff's coming out on Blu-ray. But then again, you know, with all the pops and crackles and stuff, it, you know, it's just like watching a new movie, you know, and they kind of like the ambiance of the pops and the crackles and the old films that kind of make them what they are.
I don't get, you know, why, you know, this is like the fucking 10th time they've done this shit, and what could they possibly do with it with Blu-ray?
They're just enhancing the picture a little bit, and I know, I'm not for sure exactly, I know some of the audio is being touched up, because apparently there was some type of a recording hiss or something, like on the Dracula film, apparently there was some type of a hiss during the filming. So apparently now they have the technology to take that out, and it wasn't ever supposed to really be in there, but they didn't have any other way to remove it when it was originally done. Yeah. So it's always remained in the movie. And I guess from, I've never really, like I said, you know, you watch it for the movie, you don't sit there and pull out little shit like that. I've never noticed it, but apparently when he comes down the steps, that whole spiel is, there's like a small like hiss in the background during the dialogue, and they've removed it. But from what I've seen, I mean, they've cleaned it up pretty good. I mean, there's some, you know, it actually looks like a whole new movie, but, you know.
Well, sometimes that's bad, you know.
So, I don't know. I'm still, like, you know.
Let's Blu-ray Attack of the Giant Leeches and some other public domain films.
Kind of like Lee Van Cleef, though. I'm just a Universal mark, so I'm sure I'll be buying it right there. But at least they're doing it right, though. At least they're putting all of them in a fucking box set and calling it done. They're not, you know.
How many films are they talking? All the Frankenstein, Dracula, and Wolfman?
Well, I think they're just doing Frankenstein, The Bride, Dracula, Wolfman, Mummy, and Creature. I think they're doing the big five.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure if that sells over, then they'll go back through and do the house and all the sequels in another box set. So, yeah. But fuck, they've released, you know, fuck, I don't know how many times they've released Frankenstein and stuff. It's almost like Anchor Bay.
Yeah.
You know, every time with the Universal Monsters something comes out, you know, or anytime they remake one of them, they release the originals again. So there's like five or six different versions of every movie out on the market.
What are they asking for the set? Any idea?
I think it was, I want to say it was going to retail for around 60 or 70. But, you know, I mean, that's, if you break it down, that's what, 10 bucks? A little bit over $10 a movie.
And with
Universal, you know it's going to have a ton of extras and shit with it. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's pricey for one drop on one item. But, like, again, it's a box set and you're getting all the shit with it. So,
yeah.
I just wish that they would, you know, do something kind of cool, like kind of what the Hammer stuff's being released as over there in England. kind of do like a special release type of deal or a commemorative type of deal, kind of give a little bit extra something maybe in the packaging.
What are they doing? What are they releasing with the older Hammer stuff, like the good stuff, like Curse of Frankenstein, Horror, Dracula?
Yeah, all of the. I think they started off with Dracula. I think they just released the Reptile.
That movie sucked anyway.
Yeah, a lot of those did, but they're just great though. The ambiance and the sets, yeah. But you know, I mean, the Christopher Taste. I don't know if it's it was Dracula's Risen from the Grave. I think it was the Reptile, and then I want to say there was a Frankenstein movie, but they're all coming out on Blu-ray now. But they're doing them individually. They're not doing like a crazy box set. But there's so many of those Hammer movies. Fuck's sake! I don't know what is there like 200 and some Hammer movies. I mean, not just including the horror stuff, but also the I don't know what you call it, suspense thriller.
Oh well, you know the one that makes I wonder where it went was they had like three Japanese POW films, Camp on Blood Island, Prisoner of Blood Hole, and they were really sadistic and stuff. And Michael Ripper was playing the Japanese commandant with his eyes taped back.
Oh really?
Yeah, you don't see them anywhere.
I wonder is any of that printed in any of the, because I've got like three or four of the Hammer books. I wonder if that even is mentioned in there.
See if it is, but it was definitely released by Hammer, because you know they also did the pirate films too. But they released them that Icons of Adventure thing or something,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, that was it was around the same time as that. I'm trying to think. It was Camp on Blood Island. I'm pretty sure there were three of them.
I remember the pirate thing because it came out the same time as the Icons of Horror, and then there was an Icons of Suspense.
Yeah.
Well, there was two. I think there was two Icons of Horror. When
well,
there was,
you know, what's weird is that one they got the Stranglers of Bombay.
Right.
I saw that in color, and it's in black and white there.
Was it the American? I wonder if they released it in black or in color for the American audience, though.
Well, there's a couple of them because I've seen Circus of Fear in black and white, and it's, you know, in color.
Right.
Oh, somebody was selling Horrors of the Black Museum, but the print's in black and white. Otherwise, I would have fucking went for that.
Oh, the film release or the DVD?
Film release. Okay. I'm always looking for. Yeah, I have no money, but I blow like $50 to $100 on this shit just to fuck around with it, wasting this shit. But I got Reefer Madness.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah, that's, I got that. I got that on 16. I got
Cocaine Fiends. You got that one?
No, but I got Behind the Green Door, the 60mm print with the Mitchell Brothers case.
Hmm.
I got Devil in Deep Throat too.
Yeah. We need to get Todd to show Terror in Tiny Town for Todd. You get a kick out of that one.
Yeah, or Long Gene Silver.
No. Keep it.
I'm gonna get her on the show. You'll cringe,
dude. It'll be frightening. It'll be frightening. Why you do this to me?
I like Long Jean. She's pretty cool.
I believe you.
We got to just get one for Wasteland. Have Todd up there and just have her hiding under the table.
Stump fuck him?
Yeah. When he's sitting there fucking peddling his wares, she can just kind of fuck with his leg under the table. You don't even know what's going on. Then just have her pop out on him.
You sick bastards.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Sick damn bastards, man. There's no need. Jesus. Yeah. We're about out of time, gentlemen. We're going on.
All righty. Well, I apologize for Tim not being here this week, so he'll be
back.
That's
right. It was fun. Fuck him.
His with buffoonery. So yeah. I hope he's having a good time, which I know he is, Valiant Thor. So, and if anybody, you know, if I've stepped on anybody's feet or upset anybody, good.
Yeah.
I have accomplished what I set out to do. And if anybody wasn't expecting this episode, stay tuned next week, and we'll give you what we give you best. And thanks to Pete for allowing me to rant again and joining me.
My pleasure.
Thanks for Todd for giving me the hour to spew forth my hatred and incoherency. So
anytime, incoherent bastard.
I am incoherent. I'm a rambling fool. So
here's a rambling male.
Until next week, folks.
Same bat time, same mother.
Stand your ground. Channel. Oh, real quick. I got some shit out of my collection I found I got doubles of. If anybody's interested, send me an email at morehorrorthanhorror@gmail.com. First six people that send me an email, I will send you one of my doubles out of my collection. I don't know what you're going to get, but you'll get something.
You'll get some.
So it's a freebie. Accept it. Love it. Bye.
Man, that was quick and easy. See you next week.